Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Super Paint, Super Deck, and Woodscapes products June 12th through the 22nd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Welcome back to another episode of The Mac Rumors Show. And of course, it's that time of the year where we are actually at Apple Park in the studio, except it's much more lonely on my end. Hartley is not here this year, but we have him via Riverside, which is what we use. So cool to know that Apple's using the same thing. But we have so much to get to and not a lot of time, so we're going to just jump right into it. But real quick, Hartley, I usually say good afternoon to you, but what, good morning? Should we stay with that?
This 1:30. This is morning now for me. Morning the next day.
How are you still functioning?
Barely, but it has been good to spend my entire evening digging into all of these features, and there has been a lot. I think this is going to keep us busy for weeks.
Apple was super efficient with the keynote. It was actually much shorter than usual, so we will be just as efficient. So we'll jump right into it. We'll start with just kind of going through and recapping the events. It was broken up into three sections this year. So the platform improvements, which is kind of like the rumors that we talked about for months about how this was going to be kind of that Snow Leopard style release where there's just a lot of focus on, tidying things up a bit, making stuff just a lot more efficient. And then trust and safety, which I thought was going to go in a different direction, but I'm kind of glad. This is kind of one of my under the radar personal favorites due to being a parent who has kids that uses a lot of this stuff. And then Apple Intelligence and Siri. And we'll just go through, let's start with platform improvements. And Liquid Glass was kind of the main star here where we knew this was coming, where we kind of could adjust things and things are being kind of tailored to make it easier to read. If you want to go full clear liquid glass, you can. If you want to tint things back up, you can also do that. So what were your thoughts on some of aside from liquid glass too, just a lot of the improvements that we saw from more of the efficiency standpoint and just responsiveness and how things are going to run on these devices?
Well, with liquid glass in particular, I think this goes a little bit further than I was expecting because this isn't just a liquid glass slider. And
right.
By all means, you do now get that where you can really customize the appearance based on what you want. But the actual appearance of liquid glass throughout the system has been improved across all platforms. This is really visible in particular with app icons, which now use more layers of liquid glass. And it's just clear that there's a lot more consideration that's gone into the fit and finish. And even just the level of contrast seems dramatically better.
Mm-hmm.
It really seems like liquid glass has stepped up and just become that bit more refined now, and I think a lot more people are going to be very happy with the look and feel of this throughout the systems. But there's so much here.
Well, jumping in on the icons for a second, did you get the beta on your phone?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so my whole plan was to not put it on my main phone, and here I am. It's on my main phone. It didn't work out that way, but the way I wanted it to. But I'm just looking at these icons. That was the first thing I noticed. A lot of these icons just look so much nicer than what they were before. It's such a subtle change, but it's a welcome change. And there's a lot of that throughout here, especially, I don't know if you've kind of had a chance to go through a lot of the smoother system animations, launching apps. A lot of things are just so much faster now. I believe it's 30% faster for launching the apps. New photos appear 70% faster when you capture them. Haven't done that one yet. It's been literally 2 hours. And then obviously you can airdrop photos, and that's going to be a transfer speed of up to 80% faster. Again, something I haven't tested yet, but a lot of these things are going to be welcomed by a lot of people who kind of find this to be a bottleneck sometimes with the platforms.
It's clear to me that this is a pretty dramatic change. It really does feel like there has been a level of iteration across the board, everything just feels substantially smoother and more considered, both in terms of the design and the responsiveness across the system. And we have these gorgeous 120 hertz displays on a lot of our devices now, and somehow it feels just like everything's just that little bit faster, which is, of course, really nice to see, because last year we got that big upgrade to liquid glass, which was such a dramatic change. But it feels like this is kind of taking everything to the next level. And, you know, it's inevitable. Whenever there's a big change, there's a lot that needs to be figured out right out of the gates. Yeah. But I think with a whole year of working on this and listening to feedback, just like Apple said during its keynote address, I think they've got things just right this time around.
A couple other things that I wanted to touch on. With mail and messages specifically, the indexing has been apparently just rebuilt from the ground up here. So the search index, re-architected, it's more stable, again, more efficient. I'm probably going to say that a bunch. And more comprehensive, and it just incorporates old content but also new content instantly as it's coming in. It's able to feed those results of what you're looking for to the top a lot faster. Something, again, I haven't had a chance to test, but that has been one of my main struggles with mail, especially. We've talked about this. So I'm super happy that this is something that Apple really focused on.
Particularly with Spotlight as well, is where you should notice a dramatic difference, because I think many of us rely on Spotlight to get to our apps, especially where we have so many apps installed on our devices nowadays. But we've all had those experiences of Spotlight just indexing that little bit too slow, lagging behind, or even if you're searching for something like a recent message, it not being able to surface that as effectively as you might like. Now, that should all be completely different. And this is actually related to some of these changes that we're seeing underpin Apple Intelligence, because, of course, they kind of go hand in hand. If you need Apple Intelligence to be able to access all of that information across your system and to be able to access it both quickly and also make sure that that is up to date, you need that indexing to be incredibly fast. So this is kind of a tangential benefit of needing to build that technology for Apple Intelligence.
One other thing to mention, and a lot of this efficiency is going to help older devices. And I believe this is one rumor that I'm glad is wrong, especially for a lot of people out there who own an iPhone 11 somewhere in that lineup and the iPhone SE 2. That was, I believe, a rumor that said those devices would be dropped for iOS 27 specifically. Now, I'm not sure if you're going to get everything, especially a lot of the, a lot of devices aren't going to get a lot of the Siri stuff, which we'll get to in a little bit. But when it comes to iOS 27, apparently every device that was able to run iOS 26 will get iOS 27. So that does include the entire iPhone 11 lineup and the second generation SE and then just all the newer devices from there. So that's pretty cool. We do need to move on, though. Let's touch on trust and safety quickly, and then we'll get to the main thing that everybody wants to talk about, which is Siri and, of course, all the Apple Intelligence features. But screen time was something that I didn't think I'd care about as much, but now that I have three kids and they all have iPads, and every day it's a constant struggle with how much screen time they should get. Just the horror stories of things that I hear that I don't want them finding out. And at some point they will, like I did as a kid, but I just never really told my parents the type of things that but I'm glad they're really open, and I didn't also have to deal with an iPad, but they do. And so I'm glad that Apple is taking a next step on how to help with, not only for the kids to not see a lot of the things that they shouldn't see or have access to a lot of things until they're age appropriate, but making it easier for the parents. So screen time got a huge overhaul, and then there's just a lot more features that Apple added. And I know that you do not have kids yet, but this is great that this, is something that you will have available, and it's just getting better and better. So what were your thoughts on some of the overhauled trust and safety measures that are going to be for...
Well, there's so much granular control here. Sometimes on some devices, parental controls can feel a little bit static and a little bit limited, where you can just, control what kids see in browsers or whatever it may be. But we're seeing extensions of features here that we've seen in the past, such as preventing what kids might see in FaceTime calls or in messages that they may receive. And this is using incredibly powerful algorithms that don't require anything to be sent to the cloud. It's just all on device right there. You don't need to go out of your way to set anything up. It's just pretty simple questions for parents to engage with and making it as easy as possible. And yet they do seem pretty powerful and expansive.
Yeah. You can even schedule things out, which is kind of cool. And like, I love that, you know, now it's summertime. So like in the school year, we were pretty limiting on how much screen time you get throughout the week. It's usually like an hour or two of like personal devices. And that's it. Like during the school day, like they've got stuff that they barely even get to that because it's just there's not enough time in the day. Weekends are a different story, but now it's summertime. So they're still busy with other stuff, but they're going to naturally, you know, especially on bad weather days, they're going to have some time where they're going to want to do their iPad a little more, and we'll probably let them. And so it's nice that you can fine tune, tailor, whether it's, you know, communication or you know, watching content, whatever. You can give a little bit of extra. You can schedule out what you want because no day is going to be the same. And so that stuff's kind of cool. Yeah, that's really all I have about that. But I like that Apple focused on that for a little bit.
Hey guys, just want to take a quick break to tell you more about today's sponsor, Shopify. Starting a YouTube channel is honestly pretty intimidating. It's basically like starting a business these days. When I first started making videos, there were a lot of what ifs running through my head. What if nobody watches? What if I spent all this time making content and it just goes nowhere? Looking back, taking the leap was a great decision, and it got me to where I am today, making these videos and, of course, these podcasts for you all. If you're thinking about starting a business, Shopify can help make that leap a whole lot easier. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., from major brands to businesses that are just getting started. What I like is that Shopify gives you everything all in one place. You can build a great-looking online store with ready-to-use templates, create email and social media campaigns to help find customers, and even use built-in AI tools to help write product descriptions and improve product photos. Plus, Shopify helps manage everything from inventory and payments to analytics, so you're not juggling a bunch of different platforms. It's time to turn those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/Mac. Go to shopify.com/Mac. That's shopify.com/Mac. Thanks, Shopify, for sponsoring this episode.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
All right, let's lead us into Siri. I've done a lot of talking. They want to hear your smooth voice.
Well, Siri, of course, is the star of the show here.
It is.
Ever since this was unveiled back in 2024, I think this is what we have really been anticipating most keenly. And I think what's so significant is that this isn't just what we saw unveiled back in 2024. It's that and a whole lot more. Even just the appearance seems so much more considered. I love this look that Siri now has up in the Dynamic Island. It's unlike anything else we've seen in the Dynamic Island before, kind of half opaque and dark at the top toward the island, so you don't really notice it, of course, and then going transparent at the bottom. Very unique, very distinctive. And even on the Mac, that is now what Spotlight looks like when it uses Siri. So there are some visual changes here. And of course, just the capabilities reach pretty much everywhere across the system with access to the whatever you're looking at on the screen. So you have that on-screen awareness. You've got world knowledge to be able to conduct search about events that are taking place in real time or pretty much anything that you want to look at. And then you've got actions and controls within apps, leveraging things like App Intents to be able to actually get things done. So there's an enormous amount of power and capability here.
I mean, it's pretty much everything that we've been talking about for months. Obviously, we did know some of these things because Apple showed us 2 years ago. But I like that we've gotten new examples. It wasn't the same recycled stuff. Like, it was new examples of how you can use this in your everyday life, why this would be useful, why you'd want to use it if you decide to enable it. Which, by the way, if you guys do decide to do the beta, you do need to request access and join the waitlist for new Siri. So, which, by the way, we didn't talk about. It's Siri AI. We have to talk about the rebranding. What are your thoughts on the new name here?
I think it's helpful. I think it's helpful to kind of draw a line underneath user experiences of Siri in the past and make it very clear that this is something new. I mean, this is completely different, really, from anything that we would have been able to do with Siri in the past. I mean, it's not even close. The ability to stack requests, have conversations that actually go somewhere, taking actions every step of the way across apps, it's something totally different. And it just makes it really easy for ordinary users to understand. We've had Siri before, now we have Siri AI. And it kind of brings Siri up to date. So I really like it. I also think the other thing that really stood out to me watching the keynote is the actual demos, which felt a lot more raw and a lot more, I know they're pre-recorded, but it felt a lot more like a real-time demo than what we've seen in the past.
They didn't simulate it. They didn't, like, it, unless they did, and, but I don't know how they, it seemed, because it was a long time in between, so much so that they timed it up perfectly. They had enough time to, like, finish their thought and show you that in real time, like, this is how long it takes, Siri, which it takes a little bit, but it wasn't that bad.
And they were comfortable to leave a beat if that's what Siri required. I like the split screen edit. But kind of where I'm going to with this point is that what I feel Apple did very well with the keynote today is it kind of conveyed what makes Siri AI and Apple's direction with AI here different to its competitors. Right. Because there are a lot of these AI services around right now, many of which are adopted into people's workflows already. And I think what Apple showed off so convincingly is the fact that this is all integrated. It has that personal context. There's no way that you can use any of these other tools from third-party services today to access your messages and Apple Music and to be able to kind of work across all of these apps so conveniently without needing to plug anything in or set anything up. And it's all just there on your device. And it has that sort of background picture of what you may want or need at any given time. And if you do need to be able to dive into more kind of conventional chatbot style work, you can do that too. Apple showed us that with its demo on the Mac, where it showed a much more conventional chatbot style conversation, looking at some PDFs. But then if you want to be on the go, you're asking questions. I think the demo they gave us was for concert tickets and then jump over to Apple Music to listen to that song. You can do that too, which seems like a far more kind of diverse vision of how we can actually integrate AI in our day-to-day lives than a lot of what we're seeing from competitors, which just involve opening an app every single time.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, walking through some of the examples for those who haven't been able to, see the demos, we can kind of describe it to you, and I still think it's pretty cool. Like you just mentioned, I believe it was Suki Waterhouse, right? Was the example that we used for the artist where he was able to ask, when's the next show? Turns out it's like exclusive show that you're going to need to enter a lottery for. Okay, well, I don't have time to be monitoring my phone the whole time I won that lottery, so go ahead and set a reminder as soon as that lottery becomes available and let me know so that I can get tickets. And then it was able to do that. And then, of course, you mentioned that it's able to just show me the newest single. And so it was able to pull that up in Apple Music, which is great. I liked the ones that do reference messages because I think that's what I'm going to be using a whole lot. There are so many times where, even if they fix the search index, which we just talked about in the improvements part where you're trying to find something, right now it's really tough to find certain messages. And even if that gets fixed, just the ability to ask Siri to pull back something that you know someone sent you a while ago, and it can go do it. So the demo that we had, I believe, was a dessert dish or recipe that somebody sent you, and it was able to pull that up. And then he was able to create an entire theme, a menu based around this watch party that they were going to do, and it gave the menu watch party suggestions and then send that into a group chat and include everything in there. And it's just so much more that you can do that. I'll admit other people, other OEMs and platforms out there can do this. But like you said, not a lot can pull from what you have, especially iPhone users. We haven't had this, so.
It's a convenience factor.
It really
is. And it's also that personal context. Because if you're talking about on-screen awareness, in theory, you can get that kind of thing with a third-party service if you screenshot it and then take it over to another app. But you don't really want to be doing that. It would be so convenient. You've got Siri up there in the dynamic island, and you can just hold down on the side button on your iPhone and the awareness is right there straight away.
Yeah.
And that's really all you need a lot of the time.
Yeah, I mean, I know this is a developer conference, so I don't want to say that we don't need third-party applications. We absolutely do, but I think at times if a lot of people, like myself included, if there's a first-party solution for it, I would much rather have that. So it's really nice that we have this built in now.
And also, you know, third-party developers are able to leverage
exactly.
Siri AI through Apple through App Intents.
Yeah, it's only going to make their apps
which
better.
Have become so powerful in recent years across Shortcuts and Spotlight. And if we see more third-party developers integrating App Intents, I think that that is going to go hand in hand with Siri AI so perfectly that really I think that you actually will have a lot less reason to open a lot of these apps a lot of the time, especially for quick actions, which is the direction I would really like to go in.
Yeah. Speaking of visual intelligence, speaking of pointing things and like knowing what's on your screen. If you use visual intelligence now, we got the Siri mode, so that's in the camera app. But now you can do a couple of different things. I believe we've mentioned, but it's official. You can point it at a plate of food and you get like, what was the example? So it was like a bowl of ramen, I believe. And it was saying, you know, it's pretty highly processed, but there's good protein in it. Like it gave you a breakdown of like the nutrients that you're getting and what's in it. I didn't see a calorie thing. I wonder if in the future, we've talked about how we wanted it to like, you know, kind of like for fitness tracking or for like food tracking, what level it's going to get to. But right now that's kind of gives you a basic rundown of what it is that you're going to eat. And then the bill split, which is kind of cool too. You can split up, you know, and then have app, and then keep going with the actions there, have Apple Pay, then send a request to somebody based on, okay, item X, Y, and Z belongs to this person, so I'm going to ask for Apple Pay there. And that's always nice to see.
And this is accessible directly from the camera app now, which mm-hmm. makes sense. You don't need to remember that visual intelligence is tucked somewhere else. This is a Siri mode directly in the camera app. Super straightforward. If you need to use the camera, where do you go? The camera app.
Yeah. I mean, visual intelligence is kind of the basis of it. So we probably could still use that term. But I would imagine at this point, it's just still going to be Siri too, because it's Siri mode. I don't know. There's like two different namings, I feel like, for some of these things.
I feel like it's Siri mode within the camera app that's powered by
visual
intelligence.
That's a good way to put it. Good job. And then you can write with Siri anywhere. This is probably a little bit better for those on the Mac. So did you catch how you get into it? Was it just right-clicking and then you immediately get into like your Siri menus to be able to like, you know, help draft a document for work or describe what you need in kind of that natural language?
I did not catch how you actually invoke
it
just yet.
I think it's a right-click.
But these features are available now anywhere across all platforms where you may input text. And there are even these features now like proofreading is just there. You don't actually need to invoke it. There is AI proofreading across the system, which is fantastic.
Yeah. And speaking of all the other platforms. So Apple Watch will have this available. You'll have Siri and be able to do stuff off of there. But the Vision OS one, that one's so cool. The fact that Siri is just a little bubble in the bottom that you can move around, resize. He just places it on his desk there in the example. And then, what did you drop there? You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
And then you just, in order to talk to Siri, you don't have to like say anything. You can just look at it and start talking in your environment at Siri. And I don't know, I just thought that was really cool. It's always cool.
I think it was great to actually see a kind of specific vision for how to use these tools on Vision OS. So even just the little things that you can only do on Vision OS, like you invoke Siri just by looking at the bubble. And I also really liked the demo they gave. I think it was where it kind of was playing on-screen awareness, but of course, in a spatial context, that's everywhere. So you just look at what you want. So that seems very powerful. There's a very passionate group of Vision Pro users that I'm sure are really going to enjoy using that.
With Siri and the voice. So that has been changed, and you can kind of customize it. There's like a little slider where you can change the expressiveness and the pace at which Siri would talk to you, which is kind of cool. It definitely sounds far more natural. It's not robotic at all. has a lot of expressions. As we said, we can just customize it. I don't know. It was cool during the demo of what you can do with it, which is always nice. And then obviously privacy is a huge thing. I think the clarification, even I was kind of confused from January when Google and Apple kind of did the joint statement on how this was going to be used. And you've clarified a little bit, but it's even more clear now that, like, yes, the foundations and the models are built off of or are leveraging Gemini, but it is not Gemini in, like, what people think it is. And I've seen already some kind of misinformation online. So do you want to, like, touch on that a little bit?
Sure. So the way that Apple articulated it today was that Apple previously had its foundation models, and it has licensed Gemini's models and then combined these and then has customized these to run on its hardware, whether that's its cloud hardware or its on-device hardware. So the actual experience of the product at the user end is pretty different to just like a pretty much what you can get from Gemini today.
Right.
And of course, there's all of these capabilities are distinctive to Apple platforms and Apple devices.
Yeah.
So it's kind of using the power of Gemini and Google's experience in AI, which is outstanding. It's a leader in the field. But then also, it's kind of Apple putting its own spin on that and using its own custom technologies to be able to get those integrations across platforms.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
And it seems like a lot of what we just talked about is very much on device. We had a tech talk that we went to right after the keynote. Craig and a few others were talking on stage. And I believe this will get released, so you'll be able to see some of it. I don't know how much of it, but a lot of people have been posting about it. But I think Apple will do something. Don't quote me on that. It was very, very technical, like how much detail they were going in on how this works. And there was diagrams showing you exactly how much is Google and leveraging Gemini and how much is Apple stuff. And it was a lot of Apple stuff and very little amounts of Google. Now, that's not to downplay it. Like, they definitely need it, obviously. But it wasn't as much as people think. And the notion that this is like, oh, it's just Gemini on your phone, like, what's the point? It's not at all the case. So
Apple's foundation models are still very much a part of this.
And Apple foundation models are really good, too. And I think people just don't really realize that. So yeah, that's Siri. I mean, we have to move into Apple Intelligence. But is there anything else you wanted to touch on real quick with Siri?
I don't think so. I think the one thing I would say that I'm really excited for, just the one feature, is the Siri app on the Apple Watch.
Oh, yeah.
Where it strikes me that, you know, sometimes if you want to have a conversation with a chatbot, you have to go and pull out your iPhone. Well, I definitely will be using my Apple Watch a lot more to conduct those kinds of conversations now when you're on the go, when your phone is tucked away and you want to get access to something. I think that was a really nice feature that I actually don't think I expected.
Yeah, and just to reiterate, like, it's on the Apple Watch. Of course, you can have it on your iPad, your Mac, your iPhone, et cetera. Like, the app is synced across all of your devices via iCloud. So, you know, just the convenience, the ecosystem that keeps tying into everything. Now, speaking of all of that, we have to dive into Apple Intelligence inside of these apps because this is huge. There's a lot of really good updates. Let's start with Safari. I like this one a lot because I think you're like me. You're just kind of a massive row of tabs guy.
Yep.
So how many times do you just want to try to group them but don't really have the time, or you're lazy? I'm lazy. So now you can have it analyze each page, and it'll just do this on its own and kind of group things by category for you, so it's easier to find the tabs that you might have open, which is really nice.
Yeah, I really like that feature. It's another great sort of background quality of life feature. I feel like it's almost the kind of thing that we're going to forget is there pretty quickly, but will immediately be very useful if you're a Safari power user.
Speaking of really useful, Notify Me, love this, especially I go to a lot of concerts, so like it's hard to remember when like artist presale goes on. So you could just have the webpage be monitored by Safari, and it'll just like, you could set a notification, hey, when something changes here, which would be basically when the tickets are ready to go on sale, so that you're not left in the dust. You'll get a notification and then you can jump in and pick up tickets if you need to or whatever the case may be. I think they used it for like when camps open up, which I've gotten burned. I tried to get my son into golf camp and I didn't know when it opened because it was, I don't know, long story short, he didn't get in right away and we did get, it was a whole mess. So if I had this feature, it would have been really nice to be able to do this. And you can use natural language to do a lot of these things now. So this leads us kind of into extensions. If there's an extension that you want that doesn't exist, guess what? You can make one yourself. It'll use AI, you describe it. And I don't know what I'm going to use this for, but I don't know. Do you have any ideas on what you would describe?
Not off the top of my head, right. But this is effectively where we're seeing Apple kind of lean into the vibe coding craze, where if there is a tool that you want, you don't necessarily have to go to an app store to pick up an app from a developer. With something like an extension as well, that's a very small utility, you don't necessarily need to be doing that. And you can customize it in any way you may like. So I'm very excited to try this feature out.
Especially, I know we're kind of jumping out of order, but it's very much the same thing. Shortcuts, we kind of heard this for years that this was going to be a thing. And it is officially a thing. So you can describe what kind of shortcut you would like. And it would essentially just make it for you. And I believe the demo one that they used was whenever you leave work, it would notify your, let's just say in my case, it would notify my wife that I'm leaving work, this is the ETA, and you can even have it throw on a podcast like the moment you get into your car. Like that stuff's super useful. You don't have to do anything anymore. It would just immediately send the notification, the ETA, so you don't forget, because I would often forget, and then you can throw on your favorite podcast or playlist or whatever you might want, which is really nice.
Yeah, I think this is a huge feature. I've always enjoyed using Shortcuts ever since Apple acquired Workflow, which ultimately became Shortcuts. But there is a learning curve to it, and it does require a level of technical understanding and ability to troubleshoot, especially if you're getting into something more complicated. You know, if you're having one set up a timer or something like that, that's easy enough. But you can go pretty far with Shortcuts. I think that this will now open up to a lot more casual users who have an idea about the automation they want to create, but may be intimidated by kind of dragging in each of those particular actions step by step, especially where it involves effectively an understanding of programming. So I think that is a very good feature.
All right, we're going to jump back into Safari real quick. This one's huge. So how many times have you opened up, even with the Passwords app, how many times have you opened that up and seen that you have 600 compromised passwords and you should probably go and change it, but you're looking at it like, I am not going to go through every website and change it. Well, now it agentically is able to go in and change the passwords for you automatically inside of Safari, which is really helpful, I would imagine, for not only just the sake of time, but also sanity. I don't know. I would go insane if I had to go and change all of those. And so that is something I think I've said really nice after every single category, but it is a really nice feature to have. I don't know.
I'll go further than really nice.
Thank you. Help me out here.
This is probably my favorite feature that was unveiled.
Really? Do you, how many passwords are compromised for you?
Oh, I don't know. Probably like 600 or something stupid like that. Uh-huh. And a lot of them anyway. I did actually check after
check right
the keynote
now.
Today. and this is so powerful because it does it in the background. So you don't even like, you can't see Safari doing this. It's not like you open the Safari app and see it navigating through the pages because you don't need to. Safari just does it in the background and you see it as a live activity, which is perfect. So you can just see it processing each one of these passwords one by one, no matter how many of them you have to do. It will do all of them step by step, one by one, update it in the Passwords app. It's perfect. It is absolutely perfect. It makes a task that would ordinarily be very tedious, completely easy, and just in the background. I completely love it. I would love to see more features like this in the future.
So I have 29 that can be fixed right now. So I'm also curious what parameters need to be set because it's not everything right now. There are 285 recommendations. So I guess we'll start with 29. I'll probably hit that button here and let it do its thing. But at some point, hopefully it's able to like get more websites to be able to do this. I don't know the parameters of it, but yeah, I love this feature too. That's It's really nice. Moving on to messages, I've actually seen this already. So you get some recommendations based off of the context of your conversation. So I can give you my own example. Someone said something and it offered to add it to reminders or add it to notes. And it was like, we should remember to do this. And that was so that's kind of nice to see. I got to stop saying it. I can't stop now. I can't stop. In Calendar, I was a little nervous for Fantastical because now you can, you could naturally just write what the changes that you want to make.
Natural language.
Yeah, natural language, thank you. In your events that you're creating, or if you need to make changes, maybe you have something that's set to every day and you're like, I need this to be every other, Thursday or whatever the case, maybe you can change that. What other features have you noticed with Apple Intelligence that have been a big, quality of life improvement that we've seen?
One of the more interesting ones that I would single out is the fact that home app notifications update as single notifications rather than layering in as multiple notifications, which is not something I actually probably would have ever thought I needed, but it actually makes perfect sense. So, I've got various sensors and cameras and things that tell me when I arrive back or when someone arrives at home, whatever it may be, and these just layer in.
Yeah.
And while you can get like an Apple Intelligence summary of that, the way that it will work in iOS 27 is that single notification will update as the home context changes, which just makes perfect sense because once that status has changed, you don't need to know what it was before.
Right. I need this to, is this something that you think third-party developers would be able to leverage? Because I use the Arlo cameras. And I get 7,000 notifications if my kids are outside playing. And like, I don't need all of that. So maybe it could do something like this where it's able to be like, okay, the door was open. Now there's people outside. They're playing. I don't need a status update unless something else changes, Keep it in that one singular notification. I really like that. And I hope other developers can do the same thing. There's third-party apps that are very much doing this kind of thing with the AI summaries and stuff, but like this is a genius little twist to it, I think.
I agree, and there's also some powerful Apple Intelligence stuff going on with video cameras. So in the smart home, if you have multiple cameras, Apple will now be able to cut between those cameras around specific events just based on what it's seeing, and it will actually show you timestamps. So if you've got like a package delivery, you can actually now just see a stamp that says, oh, here's where the package delivery was, and it will show you multiple camera angles cut together of that event, just making it so easy. I mean, we've all had these experiences with these smart home cameras of kind of scrubbing along hours of video to try and get to the event that we want. And, some third-party apps kind of try to provide you with markers, but nothing that seems quite as dynamic or as seamless as this.
I found that change to be interesting, too. I mean, I have a room full of Apple people here. I don't want a shoe to be thrown at me, but like maybe that hints at something else in the future that seems like it would be really useful if there was a first-party camera, per se, or like a smart home display, like a home hub. I don't know. That just seems like that would fit really nicely in there, don't you think?
You might very well think that, Dan, but I just couldn't.
Listen, you're allowed to speculate. It is literally our jobs to do so. It's a nice feature for existing third-party cameras that can record and take advantage of Apple's home app with that. Image Playground, we did see a lot of things about that, and we did get the photorealistic images. Now, there's a bunch of new styles, including that one, and you can also use Image Playground with existing images, which is kind of cool. Kind of circle the area if you want to edit certain images or certain parts, you circle. I think there was like a cake or whatever, and they just kept making changes just to that specific portion, so you no longer have to keep regenerating new types if you want to make changes to it. Thoughts on that before we jump into photos, or...?
Well, I've never found Image Playground very useful. We've talked about this before. I think the only time I've ever actually used it is in Apple Invites, where it's integrated right there, and it's good to have some kind of custom artwork
right
for an event. But I could actually see myself using it a lot more now, especially where there are photorealistic options.
I agree.
There's a lot more different styles available at your disposal. And it seems like you can iterate on ideas in a much more organic way. And you can even kind of, it understands who people are based on the Photos app and create things with people, which is the exact kind of thing that, you know, I want to do with AI image generation. Is I just kind of want to mess around with images of people that I know and just create goofy stuff, which now you can do with Image Playground.
Yeah, now you can do those things. I still don't know how much I would use that, but it's definitely much more enticing now with a lot of these changes. But in terms of editing photos with AI and being more artistically friendly, I feel like, and Apple did kind of stress this a lot, you know, not ruining an image with AI slot, basically. There's a lot of new controls and features inside of the Photos app to kind of help you get the image that you tried to get, but maybe you couldn't. So the biggest one was we called it reframe, but I think it's called spatial reframing now, right? So kind of gives you that spatial photos vibe that you got, and you can basically alter the perspective if you know, like, oh, I just needed it to like couple degrees to the left, like we just need to shift that perspective. And I didn't do that, but I wish I could go back and take the picture. Well, you can just go ahead and reframe and it'll just fix all of that for you, which is crazy. And there was a couple of other features too in there. Extend, kind of generating the fill of the image. If you need to expand your frame a little bit, maybe to just make it perfect, you can do those things. Cleanup is a little bit better at removing objects and has the infills a little bit more realistic. Have you kind of had a chance to play with those yet, or if at least
no,
your thoughts on the
demos?
No,
not just yet, but I know that these are going to become pretty essential features.
Pretty popular, yeah.
I think the thing that's great about the Extend tool is, unlike other AI image generation or image editing tools available today, which effectively recreate the whole image if you want an edit from scratch, Extend doesn't do that. Extend only generates specifically what you need and leaves the rest of the image intact. And Reframe leverages all of Apple's experience with spatial photos, which has just gone from strength to strength since the debut of the Vision Pro. I mean, even if you're not a Vision Pro user, the fact that you can use spatial photos on the iPhone and get it, say, with your wallpaper is incredibly powerful. It's a lot of fun. I do find myself using that from time to time. Actually, rather a lot more on my iPad on a bigger display where it's more noticeable is where I like it. So if I can now use that technology, which is so impressive, to just slightly adjust the perspective of photos, I definitely will be doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are some of the, and there's probably a bunch. I haven't had a chance to dive into a lot of the smaller changes. One thing I do want to bring up, just remembered, this was in the improvements section, I think, that I just forgot about until right now. Custom EQ for the AirPods, just casually dropping that. I thought that was really huge, and it took 2 seconds of that. Did you have any thoughts on that one?
I mean, I think that it's not a feature that I personally would use,
right,
but I think it is something that people have been wanting for a very long time. I'm glad to see it.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many times have we talked about it and I said, it's never going to happen. Like, it's just never, and then it just does, and Apple spent literally 30 seconds talking, not even 2 seconds.
The feature that stood out to me, which again, it was so quick in the keynote. There was so much here and so many tiny features. I actually feel like more than usual. Mm-hmm. So we've been writing so many articles at MacRumors covering all of these different things today. The one that stood out to me is the new grid layout for the Apple Watch,
which is something that
I've been complaining about for years. Is I don't like having to scroll through so many different apps on my Apple Watch to find what I want. But now you get by default this dynamic view of, I think it's, it's 7 apps.
Okay.
You can see, or I think one of them takes you to your default list of apps. One of them is a Siri app, and that will update based on your context, based on what you need at that time of day, in much larger icons that are much easier to access. So I love that.
Yeah.
I will definitely be very appreciative for that.
Yeah. And you were going to say it's very nice, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, all of the features today were very nice.
They were very
nice.
That
is our main takeaway.
That is the only phrase that I can really come up with today. But real quick, we have a couple minutes. It is available today. If you do want to try it, you have a developer account. You can public beta, I'm guessing, will be next month. there is a waitlist for Siri, as I mentioned. So you do need to you have to ask to join the waitlist. Siri AI is not coming to the EU at launch because of the Digital Markets Act, not in China either because of regulatory issues, and it is English only to start, but they did say that there will be other languages added as soon as they can. Siri AI is also free, but some features will have daily limits, like generating images and some other things that require a lot more horsepower under the hood that, you know, it costs a lot of money and power from the data centers. So, you know, stuff's expensive. And so I guess they mentioned something about an iCloud Plus plan that would give you certain amounts and maybe you can buy your own more later. I don't know. I did kind of find out that you can, right now during the beta period, there are no limits. So they want you to test, obviously. So try it out for yourself for sure. And yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed everything. We pretty much got everything that we were hoping for. Any final thoughts on your end?
I think what stood out to me more than anything else is just the structure of this keynote. It's unlike anything
we've
covered before at WWDC. You know, normally what we've been used to is platform by platform we go through. And as the platforms have got better and better at having feature parity over recent years, what Apple has chosen to often do is kind of show a highlight of features that do ultimately end up cross-platform, but across the different ones. So we still see a segment on iOS, iPadOS, macOS, none of that this year. This year was just very clearly looking at it through an AI kind of thematic lens, very different. And because you get these features across pretty much all devices, which I thought was great, very different. And I think that it's safe to say after a lot of consternation about Apple's AI progress and its AI tools, I mean, it's really come out fighting this year.
Yeah. By the way, one last thing before we end. We did get the Craig crack marketing joke at the event, but it took a different spin. I thought they were about to abolish the names overall. Like, this was it. This was the last year. It's just now going to be referred to as macOS 27. And then the joke took, you know, just kept going. And it, I actually like this one. I thought it was pretty funny. We do have a name, and it's macOS Golden Gate, which we did not see coming. I don't know if that was that even on the list of all the other ones like that were rumored.
No. I mean, it never is.
We're
never right about it.
Way out of left field. Yeah, if that's a rumor that we can say, you know, is not a good one to search for at Mac Rumors, it's the name of what macOS is going to be. Just be surprised every year. It'll be fine. So yeah, macOS Golden Gate. All of this stuff will be on the betas across all the platforms. And I will be doing videos, of course, covering hands-on with not only iOS 27, but we'll do all the other platforms. And I do want to do a video going over all of like the micro ones that we didn't get a chance to talk about, those micro features that just kind of weren't announced or were very quickly glossed over, because a lot of them are the ones that end up being my personal favorite or the most useful anyway. So be sure to subscribe to the channel so you don't miss all of that. Of course, Hartley's writing articles till 3 a.m, for God's sake, so help him out. Go read them,
Please read them. Make it worth it.
Please read the articles. And as always, we will catch everybody in next week's episode.